that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, that will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, and we thank you for being here, and we've got a full crew this morning. We'll bring the men on. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And good morning, Brother John.
Good morning.
And we've got a special guest, Brother Paul. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And thank you for joining us, and we thank you, the remnant, for joining us from all over. Down south and up north and out west and back east and maybe up even up in the great white north. And so we thank you for joining us. We gather in the name of Jesus Christ, and we gather here to have some coffee, to read our Bibles, to have some fellowship, and to praise the King of Kings. And we give all glory and honor to Him for sure. Well, we'll open up in prayer, and phone lines are still rebooting this morning there. They're kind of caught in a little loop. I may have to reboot them again. But well, John, if you're up for it, I know you're kind of fighting the crud. We'll get opened up in prayer, sir.
Sure. Well, Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that you set aside for us to come together and to encourage one another to love and good deeds. Father, we ask that you would guide and direct us, give us wisdom and understanding and discernment what it is that you want us to talk about that benefits your people, the remnant. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Give us an understanding, hearing, and hearkening heart so that we can hear ye, the Lord, and be obedient to what it is that you would have us to do. Father, we do thank you for this window of opportunity that you've given us to follow 2 Chronicles 7:14 when your people who are called by your name, actually if your people who are called by your name humble themselves and pray and seek your face and turn from their wicked ways, then your promise is that you will forgive our sin and heal our land. Father, that's our prayer and our petition. Lord, we just pray that that revival and that restoration and restoral of those that are yours, Lord, those that will not bow their knee to Baal and boldly proclaim no king but King Jesus, would come to that realization. Father, along with that, they would realize that they must be born again of the water and the Spirit, that believing is just the first step. So, Father, open their eyes, remove the scales from their eyes, unstop their ears, that they may hear and see the truth. Lord, bring as many as can to repentance. Father, bring as many that can to the truth of immersion baptism, which is where we contact the blood of Jesus Christ, and where we're clothed with Christ, just as your word says. Father, help them to understand that you have to be clothed properly to be at that final supper, or you will be cast out into the darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Lord, we just ask that you would continue to grant your people grace and mercy and compassion in your wrath. Not knowing exactly how to pray on some of these things, Lord, we pray that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. We continue to pray for protection for our president, his wife, his son Barron, and all of those that seek to do your will and try to restore a godly government. Father, we ask that you would send your ministering angels to minister to those in positions of authority. Minister to them with godly guidance. Guidance of God, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Father, send your guardian angels to protect those that are yours. And send your warring angels to battle Leviathan in the high places. Send confusion into the camp of the enemy, Father, that they would turn upon one another and destroy one another. Lord, help them fall into the pits that they dig and be ensnared in the traps that they lay. We give you all the praise and all the glory in the name above all other names, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, today is December 15th, 2018. And, well, Paul, good morning. Hadn't had a chance to talk to you in a little while. We'll let you start off if that's all right. I mean, we've got a few things, but, you know, how's your, well, it's almost the end of fall. I think winter starts this next week. No, it does. At least it has for the last 6,000 years or so. It started about in the next week. And, how's your fall been, and how do you see things rolling into the start of this winter?
Well, I don't know. It's kind of, you know, we've just had a tremendous amount of rain here this fall. I'm not really sure what's going on. It's a beautiful day today, so you got to take one day at a time. So, yeah, I don't know what's going on.
There's snow out there, Paul?
Pardon?
You have any snow out there?
Yeah, no, we've had it, but it's gone. So up north, there's snow, not very far. So. Yeah, no, we got cold, and now it's kind of warmed up a little bit, so it's just up and down all the time, a lot of mud, so, yeah.
Amen.
It's trying times, I will say that.
Amen. Amen. We're about the same boat here. We've had snow, but it's all but gone, just a little bit on the, you know, the off-sun-facing slopes, the north and facing slopes that don't get a lot of sun right now. There's a little bit of dusting still on them, but overall it's been kind of dry. In that, the mountains are getting snow, which is good, because that's where the majority of the, you know, out here, that's where the majority of the water comes from. The mountains fill up, and then the rivers flow and overflow and irrigation ditches and all that. But it's dry here on the flats. But up in the mountains, like you mentioned, snow to the north, just to the west of us up in the mountains, they seem to be getting pretty good snow. I think that just shows that, you just don't get, you know, there is no fair. There is no equal. You know, God sends rain to where He sends rain. He sends snow to where He sends snow. And that's how it is. And we just have to live and work around that. I think that's, you know, that applies in our life, or it should apply in our society. You know, but it doesn't seem to. You get this people, you know, wanting fairness. And it's not fair. It's not equal. The way life is out there. But good.
Been many years, Paul, hasn't it? Since the UP's had a lot of snow, hasn't it?
Yes, they have. Yes, for quite some time.
I mean, I remember when I grew up in the Chicago area, we used to go up to the UP and snowmobile, and literally you go off the trail and you could be up to your chest or your neck in snow. I mean, you used to get feet of snow up there, and I don't know how long it's been since the UP's had that kind of snow.
No, I don't know how much they've had snow all fall, and it really hasn't gone away either. I do know that much. I know people have been up there, so
when
it comes off like fair, if you get a northwest wind, it gets lots of snow.
Yep.
Good.
Well, looks like the weather's setting up for a pretty good snowstorm to hit the Midwest from what I was looking at forecast-wise, but who knows? That can change over
time. So. It seems like it's been going south and stuff. It's major stuff.
Oh, is it?
They had ice down. I don't know where they had a lot of ice. It was really detrimental, so.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things that's going on across the country right now is the attempted gun confiscation. I sent Jason and Richard a couple of emails, but right here in Boulder, Colorado, which is not much more than 20 minutes from where I live, they implemented a new ordinance, basically, just for the city of Boulder, and it says that residents of Boulder, Colorado, have until December 27th to certify their assault weapons. Well, we all know what certify means, register.
Mm-hmm.
Or remove the firearms from city limits. Those who fail to comply could face fines, jail time, confiscation, and destruction of their firearms. Boulder police say they have certified 85 firearms since the city council passed an assault weapons ban in May. That one was kind of interesting. But then when you look at New Jersey passed a ban as well on any magazines over 10 rounds, and they estimate that 1 million people in New Jersey, most obviously the suburbs, have magazines that are over 10 rounds, and from what I was reading and looking at some of the correspondence on it, all of them have pretty much told the governor that he's number one with reference to their middle finger, and basically not one person has turned in a magazine over 10 rounds. So, I mean, that's really what it's going to take. It's going to take people to say, what does the Second Amendment say? The rights shall not be infringed upon. And I laugh because I deal with some of these morons that are educated here that try to debate with you about, well, you don't understand the Second Amendment. That's not what it's about. And I said, really? It's pretty simple to understand.
It
shall not be infringed upon. Period. End of story. But, yeah. And then, you know, I think it was a year or two we were talking, maybe it was last Christmas that we were talking about Connecticut that passed that same kind of law, and they made all these threats and how they were going to arrest people and throw them in jail and fine them, this and that. Bottom line was nobody ever followed their stupid mandates. So, but they're getting more bold and brazen, and if you look into the history of Agenda 21 and Agenda 30, and you you know, you start to look and see the UN forces, United Nations forces that are already here, well documented. I was just thinking the other day, it was probably 25 years ago, I remember Pastor Peters talking about the UN and the threat that they were. Carl Klang has a couple of good songs, actually, that reference the bright blue helmets. And, but, yeah, and then, you know, the Georgia Guidestones, they are real, you know. We did quite a bit on that in this ministry over the years, but they're gold. I mean, that's their Ten Commandments, those Georgia Guidestones, and they want a reduction of the population of the world to 500 million, you know, at the most. So that's a pretty significant decrease in the number of people that are on the world presently.
Amen. Yeah, when Boulder passed that back in May, you didn't hear a whole lot about it. But the Boulder City Council passed it unanimously to ban assault rifles. Now, when you know, what is an assault rifle? Well, that's open to interpretation. You know, they didn't include rimfires, even though little 22s. You did send that email out, John, and looked into it a little bit. Yeah, they didn't include 22s, even though some 22s look like what they think are assault rifles. And I thought it had been, Jason, maybe you know, but I thought it had been, you know, determined that an assault rifle is a military fully automatic rifle. That's an assault rifle. And so what the enemies, what the left wing calls these black rifles, which sounds racist to me, they shouldn't do that. You know, AR-15s and things like that, it's just open to their interpretation of what they and maybe their lawyers or what they decide is or is not an assault rifle.
Well, anything can be used for an assault.
Well, you know, look over in Europe. You know, they've got guns out of the way, and so they're throwing acid on each other and knives. Now they have to ban knives. And you're right. It's not the object that is the problem. It is the lack of morals and the lawlessness that's in the land. And people will be lawless with anything, and they'll assault anybody with anything.
Yeah. What do you got to add to that, Jason?
Oh, it was, yeah, that was, you know, it was kind of a big deal back in May when they tried to pass it. It was, they had quite a few protests over it, big protest. Basically, it was the same thing that happened out east. I mean, a lot of people showed up and just said, hey, we will not comply.
Yes.
And that was, they went to the meetings and, you know, at the same time, I tip my hat to them for standing up for what they believe in, but at the same time, it's like they're casting their pearls before swine. You go down there to where these meetings are, and you stand up and show your face and say, "Oh, I'm not gonna comply." I mean, it's a catch-22. You know, I mean, you talk about the bogus part of the whole thing is they say, "Okay, you know, they're having you register your guns. They're putting it on a certificate. They're writing the serial number and the make and the model and your name on it." And then they're giving you a certificate for it, but then they're telling you, well, we don't keep a copy of it. We don't, I mean, you know, how asinine is that? That's
yeah.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
Right, I think you're registering a gun, but with, in a new registry, but, we're not keeping a copy of it. Are you kidding me? I mean, it's just, you know, I mean, it's Boulder County, and Boulder is county, in the state of Colorado is some of the most liberal, left-wing, place you can go. It's, you know, I mean, sometimes some parts of Boulder make California look like a sane place to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a mini California, that's for sure. That is for sure.
You know, you see things like that, then you see the things like, you know, the Church of England now offering baptisms for a baptismal ceremony, which is a new ceremony for transgenders. You see things like that. you know, it's I mean, signs of the times. I mean, that we're living in. You know, we see over in South Africa this week was one of the things is, you know, they came out and they're basically calling for kill whites. You know, and they got a lot of videos that have come out that said, you know, we need to kill whites. We need to kill the white men. We need to kill the white women. We need to kill the white children. We need to kill their dogs. We need to kill their cats. We need to kill any kind of anything that they have, and we need to burn their every piece of their possessions to the ground. You know, they're basically talking about white genocide over there, and it's picked up a lot of heat here just in the last 2 weeks. And, you know, things like that are just, you know, signs of the times that we're living in, and it really puts things into perspective. We need to make sure and keep those people, you know, the white people in our prayers for over there and in South Africa, because you know, they're in need of God's hand to deliver them, because they're going to be, well, they already are facing a lot of odds, but that's going to be, it's heating up really quick. So we need to remember to keep them in our prayers, you know, every day.
Amen. Absolutely. Amen. Guys, we got the phone line ringing. Let's see if we can get a call on. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yeah, hi, Richard. Good morning, man.
Good morning, Joe.
Praise the Lord. Every day in every way. I've got, the thing about the assault rifles. That's a media-generated buzzword. That doesn't mean anything. It's like drunk driving. Driving while intoxicated. Anti-Semitism. On and on it goes. It's something that's it's purported to add insult to injury to an already existing ethos or whatever to make it more serious. Back in the 70s and 80s, when I got interested in firearms, and I actually took a course in gun pro, you know, how to run a gun store and stuff, and you know, ballistics and firearms history, in fact. There was no such thing as an assault rifle.
No. Well, again,
they
Joe,
called,
the assault
every
rifles...
Every country had what was known as a shoulder arm, a small arm, a long arm, or a battle rifle.
Right. Right.
And back in the 60s, I can remember, and I still have them, Outers. Remember that Outers... there's a company that makes gun products, and they actually had a catalog, and you could buy a shotgun from this catalog for like $20 plus shipping. So it's all public opinion, you know. They're
sure.
Being molded by the hidden hand, which is really what I was meaning to call about, and I wanted to ask John. Have you done any more research on Jesuits?
I haven't in a while. I mean, I did a pretty thorough...
Yeah. Well, I've been digging, and I'm no scholar.
Years ago.
I've been digging into some of the secret societies and things, and I ran across a pretty good timeline here. In London, in 1891, a guy named Cecil Rhodes... got together a bunch of very wealthy English industrialists, and he started up a bunch of associations, secret societies, and they plotted, among other things, to force America into a world war, a large-scale European conflict, and they were going to dump it all in the laps of the German people to eliminate the German nation. Down to a point where they couldn't even raise an army, because their plans to expand the British Empire into a completely worldwide organization to control every aspect of production and put everybody basically into an indentured servitude. And the only threat that they could see to their plans was the German military. And the sad, sorry tale of European conflicts from that point on is a direct result of that.
Wow.
They wanted to bring America back into the British Empire and start taking over country after country. And I got a quote here by a Jesuit priest. And again, I'm not a scholar, but this is available online. This Jesuit priest, his name is John Sheehan, he was quoted as saying, every time anyone says that Israel is our only friend in the Middle East, I can't help but think that before Israel existed, we had no enemies in the Middle East.
Yeah, you go back to the World War One era, you know, the Lawrence of Arabia, that's about the only thing people remember about it anymore. Mm-hmm. But you're right, there were very few enemies there in the Middle East.
There is a very, very good, it's about an hour long, maybe a little bit longer. It's a series of documentaries put out on YouTube. It's called the World War One Conspiracy, I believe. James Corbett is the guy who puts this stuff out. And he is one of the most, he is ardent, dispassionate, what you might call a neo-anarchist. He doesn't propagandize. He doesn't editorialize. He just lays out documented facts in his videos. And he is one of the few that really hammer punches the existing paradigm, best I've seen so far. But anyway, I'm going to let you guys get back to it. I enjoy your program immensely, and God bless you all. Take care now.
All right, Joe. God bless.
Thanks, Joe.
Folks, the phone lines are up and running.
Yeah, if you look into George Herbert Walker Bush that just passed away here last week, his father, which I can't remember his name off the top of my head, he was involved, I think, with that as well, with working with Hitler and some of that stuff early on that Joe was talking about.
Well, folks, if you want to call in like Joe did, 307-745-5913 is the number if you do want to call in. And yeah, it seems like that the the big caravan that was just going to be the end all is just kind of, last I've heard, it's just kind of fading off in the distance there. I heard that they wanted us to pay them off. If we paid them $50,000, they'd go home, $50,000 apiece. So, I hope the government's not doing that. Government's probably done things like that in the past.
Now, what's interesting, though, is the Democrats' plan to form these caravans and rush the border and all that. I think, thank God, by the leading and grace of God, our president sent military forces
yes.
to the border. Otherwise, we would have had an invasion.
Yes.
But it's a double-edged sword, it's an act of God's grace and mercy and compassion for his people, in my opinion. By the act of what the Democrats did, forming these caravans and from Guatemala and El Salvador and all these places and paying them to make the journey, they've given President Trump the ammunition that he needs to use military funds to build the wall in under the guise of national security. So, you know, that's Romans 8:28, in my opinion. That's how the Lord works all things for good for those who love him, abide in him, and are called by his purpose. And the last thing I was reading was that that's exactly what's going to happen, is if they don't get the money in the House of Representatives and Senate, then they're just going to build the wall based on national security with the funds that were appropriated for the military.
Amen.
So.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, more and more of the American people are seeing, you know, even some of these, you know, there's a lot of people that are just kind of sitting on the fence. That I know I've talked to some that, you know, they when you talk to them face to face, they certainly don't want to be invaded. but they have a heart for people. You know, they're, oh, well, we have to, you know, shouldn't we be helping these people and that type of thing? You get, you know, this caravan has reached Tijuana, and you read some of the reports that have come out of Tijuana, the rapings, the killings, the houses are being broken into, cars are being stolen. They're seeing more crime there than they've even seen. Now, Tijuana's been a mess. They've had over, you know, with the cartel killings and whatnot, they've had over 4,000, I think 4,100 murders in the last 2 years in Tijuana. But, you know, in the parts of town and the outlying communities that they really haven't had that problem, but they've got this wave of invaders that are in. You know, here's a couple quote from people in Tijuana. We don't know of incidences in Tijuana and other cities. These people in the caravans are committing crimes. He says, we don't dislike a certain group of people because we're from another country, but because they're criminals. They're in here stealing. And you know, different cultures of people have different cultures, different manners of what's right and what's wrong. One Tia man told a reporter, your country has to beware of these people because these are bad people. These are bad people. And, you know, the truth is out there.
Mexican government's even calling it an invasion.
Yes.
In their country.
Yes, they are. They're having to, because if they don't, their own people are going to rise up in revolt. Let's try the phone lines again. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, guys.
Good morning.
Hey, I'm in Western Pennsylvania here, giving you a call. I don't know if you saw videos of building the new temple the Jews are over there. They've started construction. They have an altar built, and it's actually ready for use, and they're looking at animals. I don't know if you saw those videos or not. They're interviewing the rabbis, and he said the Messiah's coming, and when they mentioned Jesus, they said, no, not Jesus, not Jesus. So we're going to sacrifice and wait for the Messiah. But I want to share a scripture with you. And it's Hebrews 10:26. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking of the judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. I know Christians beat themselves over the head with this, but I hope to consider the willful sin is unbelief. The unbelief in Jesus as the Messiah. And when I saw these guys getting ready to sacrifice and completely rebuking Christ, I thought of this. If we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge, there remains no more sacrifice for sins. They reject Christ. What they're doing ain't going to work. It doesn't end well for them, but a certain fearful looking of the judgment and fiery indignation. So I just wonder if you guys considered that or saw it.
No, absolutely, yeah. Their Messiah is Lucifer. There's no doubt about it. That's what they're waiting on. But yeah, that's.
It'd be interesting to see how this works out. What happens over there? That's all I wanted to share with you guys. Thanks a lot. I appreciate the program.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Thank you. I did not see that.
Yeah, the enemies of Christ. They've been waiting. They've been waiting for many years. And they're going to keep on waiting. You know, John, you mentioned, I think you mentioned Matthew this morning. I don't know if it was before we came on the air or right at the beginning, but, you know, Matthew 24 talks about, starting in verse 15, of perilous times and the abomination of desolation, talked about in Daniel, and it goes on about, and it talks about a great tribulation since such has not occurred. And you mentioned verse 22, unless those days had been cut short, no life would have been saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. And we want to remind the remnant out there and remind those that are out there that there is an elect. You don't have to wear special underwear like the Mormons talk about, okay? That's not it. But there has always been an elect. There has always been those that have made it through. I was talking with a man the other day, and he was pointing out a little four-year-old, and he said, you know, I worry about these people's generation, you know, our children, our grandchildren. And the generation's one thing, but the individuals. And I reminded him, I said, you know, there's always been a remnant. Those that trust God, those that not only believe God, but obey Jesus Christ. And, you know, before Jesus, before the New Testament, there were the remnant in the exile that, you know, were told, build homes, build gardens, thrive, live in the land that I send you, and grow. And there's always been that elect. There's always been those that have been saved. Now, it's not all of them. It's not all of them. And regardless of how the Judeo-Christian teachings are today, you know, that God loves everybody, and everybody's got a good heart. They just need to come to Jesus. You know, there's a bit more. There is a bit more to it. But when those days happen, the word is true. However it happens, they will be cut short for the sake of the elect, for the sake of those that love Him, that not only love Him, but obey Him. He says, if you love me, you obey my commandments. And anyway, just, you know, I you mentioned that, and my Bible was open to that. On the page before, and it was right there, and it's like, you know, you know, the world has gone to Babylon. We talk about the world's gone to hell in a handbasket sometimes, right? And Pastor pointed out, no, it's gone to Babylon. But even in the scriptures, when it says that, it says, you know, you go to Babylon, but there you will be saved. And there's so many out there that have no hope, that have to, you know, we have to be able to give them that hope. But it's not just, it's not for all. It just isn't. And boy, when we see the signs of the times, when we see the perilous times, as it talks about here, perilous times.
Well, there's no shortage of things to pray for and against. I think right now is a critical time in the history of our country with regards to what's going on that we had in the last couple of newsletters regarding the 65,000 plus sealed indictments. What a lot of people don't realize is that there's been probably thousands of pedophiles involved in a nationwide ring that have been arrested in most of the states. I think it's interesting, there's a map that shows where those sealed indictments are and what states, and how many are in those states. I can't remember what the highest, I think Pennsylvania was actually the highest of number of sealed indictments. What's that?
I think so too.
Yeah. And but, you know, right now we have a two-tiered justice system. You know, you got Republicans that are standing up for conservative values and standing behind our president for the things that he's trying to do. And they're being prosecuted for an infraction of speech that they call lying to the FBI. But then you bring up somebody like the ex-head of the FBI, James Comey, and they'll lie through his teeth for, you know, 8 hours behind closed doors, and nothing happens. But it's a spiritual warfare, and it's up to us if we're willing to provide the spiritual protection through the, you know, the angels, as far as I'm concerned, to facilitate victory in these situations. But if we don't care enough to spend the time in prayer on our knees and crying out for grace and mercy and compassion and justice is what we should be crying out for. God's justice, not man's justice. But if we're not willing to spend that time, why would God? I mean, this is a window of opportunity that he's given us. Let's face it, this Hillary Clinton thing was a done deal. They knew it. That's why they weren't worried about getting caught about all this stuff that's going down. But
I mean, I've been reading stuff that even the Pope and the Vatican are being brought into this thing. Abomination, his whole administration. I mean, so we're at a critical turning point, in my opinion, in this country, and it's up to us, the true followers of Jesus Christ, those that call themselves Christians, Jedi, Jesus' disciples, to at least, at a bare minimum, put the time in prayer that we need to pray for those in positions of authority. For I still say, you know, God said or the Bible says in Hebrews 1:14 that he's given us charge over myriads and myriads of angels, those that are set for salvation, you know. So if you are born again of the water and the Spirit, then you're one of his. You've contacted the blood. You have that authority to do just that, to pray for victory and to call for ministering angels to minister to those in positions of authority, guardian angels to protect those that seek to do his will, and warring angels to battle Leviathan. And you know, the spiritual warfare is real. Most people don't understand that. We were fortunate that we had a pastor that understood it early on and taught us many, many things as far as weapons of warfare, spiritual warfare. And we've been given all these things, and I think we forget about them a lot. The anointing oil is significant. So many things that we've been shown over the years to give us the victory. We just have to use them.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, it's an exciting time, and when you take it and you have that that attitude that, you know, the victory is ours, we're going to take it. I mean, it's a lot about attitude. You know, you can get depressed about it, or you can have an attitude that of an overcomer and you know, hey, we want this country back. And I thought it was interesting this last Friday. There was a judge that stood up and said, "Hey, Texas judge ruled Friday that the Obamacare Affordable Health Care Act is unconstitutional and it needs to be dismantled." And they're working on that, and they're working on dismantling that. I mean, it's you know, that's huge. You know, we talk about a lot of the stuff that we see that's attacking us, but you know, this is, you know, that Obamacare, that Affordable Health Care Act was, you know, was a big dose of communism, socialism, and you know, you see things like that going away. That's a good thing.
Amen. Amen. I think they're your governor right there in Colorado is trying to push that, isn't he? Not ruling it unconstitutional, but trying to probably sway votes, trying to get everybody to think that that's a good thing, this Obamacare and health care for all. And I saw some stuff on that this last week, talking with a brother, and you know, they make these promises, but who pays for it? You know, when you go to the doctor, when you go to the dentist, they have to be paid. And that just that fact alone just escapes the people. So many. It's part of that spell.
Their goal was one pay, single payer. That was their goal. They wanted communist style health care. But you know, I think there's some other significant things that are going on right now. You bring down the Obama administration. Let's say you prove that he wasn't a U.S. citizen. That it means his whole administration was illegal. That means the two Supreme Court justices that he appointed would be null and void. That's talking about Kagan and Sotomayor. Okay, so now you're talking two more Supreme Court. We know that Ginsburg isn't long for the world, but I also believe that they have the proof that Roberts was blackmailed into voting for the Affordable Care Act. So, I mean, we're talking about significant things going on in this world that can change, you know, the future, really.
Amen. Amen. And Timothy tells us to pray for the kings, to pray for those that are in authority on behalf of all men who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness. Verse 8 repeats it, says, "Therefore I want men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath and dissension."
That doesn't mean it's going to be a smooth transition.
No, No, not at all.
You got to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. Just like you say, Jason, with all the TV camera, you know, all the cameras and recording devices, and I mean, this stuff's real. We have it just locally. You go and you protest these gun laws, and they have you on video and whatever else, then you're just basically putting a target on yourself. So, in my opinion, you know, you got to be careful before you choose your battles carefully, and before you tip your cards, make sure it's something worthwhile. Excuse me. Yeah, I think that's an excellent point.
Yeah, it's something, that's where listening to the Holy Spirit comes into play, too, a lot of times, you know. I mean, you pray for wisdom, you pray for knowledge, you pray for understanding, you pray for the Holy Spirit to guide you, and, you know, you're obedient to it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, Paul, any of your friends out there and associates, seem like they're waking up to some of this stuff, or just, happy to drink their coffee in the morning, kind of a thing?
I think it seems like coffee's precedent. You know, they talk about it, but people don't understand, you know, there's only one, everything we talk about, assault rifle, you name it, there's only one way to fix this, and this is to punish crime God's way. It don't matter what you use, it's what you do. You know, but everybody got this opinion, and there's, you know, the people get up in the morning, they turn their TV on, they turn their radio on, and that influences you. It influences everybody, even us, more than we know. And that they can, you know, I go to the YouTube once in a while, they got all these things on there, you don't know if you believe them or not, you know. They're frying somebody or building somebody up, and it's just, you know, I think it's a little treacherous myself. There's some stuff there, and yeah, I just jump right on them, but then you think, well, you know, they lead you into a trap, too, so I don't know. It's perilous time, to say the least, and I think the biggest enemy is your neighbor sometimes. He'll turn on you in a heartbeat. You know, they don't agree with you, and they're more than willing to stab you in the back.
Amen. Thinking they're doing the right thing. You know, I think that boy, I've seen that. You know, where your neighbor thinks they're doing the right thing. And the Bible talks about even the very elect will persecute you and try to kill you, thinking that they're serving God and doing that. I think that comes back to this spell that the people are under. And I like and I wrote the word down that you said, opinion. Everybody has an opinion. See, everybody thinks they're God anymore. Well, you know, I think that's okay. Or, well, I don't think we should do that. And that opinion, you're right, has been based on these ungodly, antichrist, left-wing, mainstream media, or at least even right-wing media, that people that are not clothed in Christ, people that are just out doing their own thing, the false prophets. Instead of having that biblical base, and like you said, until we address that sin problem, until we address the biblical application of crime, because that's what's running. That's what it seems like is running the you know, so much today. Like you mentioned, John, the lies and the two-tier justice system that you know, they'll give me 90 days for lying. But FBI, they lie all day long, and it's just accepted. And it's down to the policemen as well, and the prosecutors, just right here in our local towns. It's that opinion that they have. Well, we think this should be right, or we think this should be wrong. Taking it right back to the Boulder City Council, and everybody gets to be God. It's all small g gods. Everybody gets to decide what's right and wrong, except the real God. And until it was said also, if my people who are called by my name, when those people return to God, then it'll change. When that sin is addressed, then it'll change.
Well, in the book of divine law, and it's out of the Bible too, there's only two things that government is commissioned to do. That's reward righteous, punish evil. But in that book, it goes to explain that the government has no authority to make rules. It's all administrative and judicial punishing. And that's all that government and a godly nation is commissioned to do. You don't make laws. You can have your rules and stuff for, you know, your club or whatever it is, but as far as real law, and see the way the practice got in, when the judge walked in the room, he was carrying a Bible. That's why they stood up for him. Now he's honorable, you know, and he decides what's going on. You know, a judge is not really supposed to make law. He's supposed to referee two opposing views. That's all he's supposed to do.
Right, sure.
You know, that's biblical, and people don't know their Bible. They think everybody's one. They don't. And God created evil too, and there's evil people out there. You know, do you see old Bush when he died? You know how ugly he was. God, the devil's people always get really ugly before they die. You know,
yeah.
He used to be a handsome guy.
Seemed to live
guy
a long
younger,
time
but,
too.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, 94.
They seem to live a long time too. I have my theory on that, but.
Well, I think his face showed it when in the end when you look at it. They come out, you know, everything gets boiled down, you know, get to judgment day. And but, yeah, there's a lot of people that, you know, some people die gracefully and, you know, look fairly good for in a casket, and some just don't. So, I don't know. I think you can see there are people out there. But the many people on the street don't want to believe that they're evil.
Right.
I have a saying, people are born evil, they're converted to righteousness.
Absolutely.
I think that's pretty accurate.
Seems like we read that in the Bible somewhere, huh, Paul? You know, that we're born into this sin nature. You know, that came up at our little prayer group on Wednesday morning. We were talking about that very thing, that how, you know, the world puts out, well, people are basically good. Oh, everybody's got a good heart. And people are basically good. You know, just some people fall away. And it's like, no, we're born into this sin nature and have to overcome it. That's why we're to be overcomers. Have to change, but people don't want to. They don't want to. They don't want to hear that. Oh well, enjoy it now. What are you going to do at the end of it?
You know, when I was converted, when I first met Pastor Peters, you know, and I said, "Well, what about the other people?" He said, "Well, that proves you're an elder, like you're concerned about other people."
yeah, because they're not concerned about
us. You know, and that's
us.
True, and people make choices. You just watch them. They'll make their own choices. They're self-serving, you know. Not everybody is, but it's a pretty ugly time right now. You know, the Bible says a prudent man will keep silent. And I think you got to choose your words when you want to say something, because you're not going to change people unless they want to be changed.
Amen.
Yeah, it goes back to free will, just like you said. There's consequences to every decision.
Yeah, and, you know, God, you know, and I'm telling you, people, Romans 13 is perverted too, you know, and people think, well, if you don't obey Caesar, you're doing godly. Well, the Romans 13 means Caesar ought to obey God too.
Absolutely.
That's what that says. I mean, it's perverted totally. And, you know, and when you're individual rights, your life, liberty, and property are not safe. Nothing's safe. That's when that's gone, and the neighborhood's gone, it's not safe. Because when they'll turn on you and walk on you, people got to realize that that body is sovereign. You don't violate it. You can have a difference of opinion, but don't cross the line.
Amen. Well, guys, we're just about out of time. If anybody's got any closing comments, and we'll get you invited to church tomorrow.
Continue to pray for the country. Continue to pray for South Africa. Continue to pray for God's people all throughout the world, because there's a battle going on right now between good and evil, and evil's using everything they can muster against good. So.
Amen to that. Well, we do want to invite you to church tomorrow. And you can do that right at your computer at scripturesforamerica.org starting at 8:30. And we'll get things fired up then, and we'll have a timeless pulpit truth that, boy, the one on faith we had by Pastor Peters just a week or two ago was awesome. And many of these folks, you got to realize, maybe we're preaching from the pulpit or at a camp, but weren't necessarily sent out on the tape ministry. And many of pastor's messages, you know, he would do one or two to kind of prepare for one for camp or something like that. And many of these are like that. So many of these are being seen and heard for the first time in 25, 30 years. But they are hard-hitting, biblical. They are needed for today. They ought to be publicized and put out in the public school. But we encourage you to come there. And John, looking forward to your live message tomorrow and to communion and to the fellowship. Fellowshipping with the saints, not forsaking the assembly. Whether you get to do it in person or join us on the shortwave of the internet, we do invite you to come and to take a few hours. Take just a couple of hours out of your week and remember and grow in the grace and knowledge. So, Brother Paul, thank you so much for joining us this morning. And we thank all the remnant out there for joining us. And guys, we'll see you at church tomorrow.
He's the Lord of Lords, King of Kings. He beat all you ever saw with trouble, with their losses, and they were born. Straightening the curve. Lightning and hills. John said someday that mountain might get up, but the Lord never will. He's making his way, the only way he knew how. That was a whole lot more than what the law would allow. He's still the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. He kept on fighting the system and doing what his dad said was good. Yeah. Man.
Then I came.